She's so flirtatious.
How does it feel to be
so persuasive? That marijuana, she's so flirtatious.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was talking about an article this morning that that was talking about, and this was in the Salon. It's talking about, you know, the Southern Baptist scandal. And, you know, when you start listening to evangelicals, and I'm always interested in what evangelicals say, because they somehow believe that you know, their beliefs and their interpretation of the Bible is different than most. And then when you support a man like Donald Trump, you have to ask the questions, you know, how can it possibly be that you can say I'm a Christian and then you follow a man like Donald Trump? And so I was talking a little bit about, you know, some verses in the Bible that have been interpreted by, again, by evangelical Christians, who basically want to point out that wives should be submitting to their husbands in many different ways and many different thoughts. When truthfully, you know, that's only mentioned sparingly in the Bible, but when people take advantage of those passages and scriptures and people don't read for themselves, then they can be led down the wrong path, which is what unfortunately apparently in some evangelical households, they take things literally, and that's what happened. So this explains in part why so many evangelical Christians like Donald Trump so much. He doesn't like it when a woman says no to him either or holds power over him in any way. He doesn't seem to like it when any woman has an opinion, wears a suit, doesn't show her boobs, has a brain and a career, and the greatest sin of all, disagrees with his opinion and tells him so. You know, we've got to get to a point where the American people really start investigating what is being fed to us, what is being said. And that's why it's so critically important that you read for yourself. Everything you've ever wanted to know in life, you can find it in a book. Connor, you're a young guy, but I bet you already know that. Whatever it is you want to know in life, it's already written. It's in a book. So if you don't read, then you're at the mercy of people who do read. And unfortunately, in our nation, less and less people are willing to read, and they rely more and more on others to, you know, to give them the information. And that's how we can wind up with the kinds of situations that we wind up with in this country. Let me move on, and I want to talk about this. I talk a lot about the military, and we all talk about how much we love the military. Oh, we love the military. We love the veterans. 37,000 United States veterans are homeless in this country. 37,000 veterans are homeless in this country. Now, you know, and many of them have some disabilities that have been exacerbated or created by their time in the military. Going to the military without many social ills, but come out of the military with all sorts of social ills. Those ills happened while you were representing the government of the United States and the mental issues that you are dealing with, you should have no problem. Our nation should stand erect and say, we're going to take care of every veteran to the grave, whatever their issues are. We love them, and they have put their lives on the line. And as you hear people say, fighting for this democracy. And so whatever their issues are, we as the American people should be responsible for them. Excuse me. We should be responsible for them. There should never be a veteran without a roof over his head. How is it possible in the wealthiest nation on earth that we have 37,000 homeless vets? And I know that there's been a major effort by other homeless vets, and I know some, who are out on the forefront fighting and saying, how can this be? These are our brethren who were sent halfway around the world to fight for democracy, they say, and who have dealt with some horrible, horrible mental issues. I couldn't imagine, and most of you couldn't, winding up fighting somewhere in a different land, somebody that, you know, they say is your enemy and wants to, you know, doesn't want to capitulate to our government. And you hear, well, they don't like our way of life. And so they don't like our way of life. So, you know, they need to understand we're the United States of America. And if you threaten our way of life, whether it's accurate or not, this is who we are, and we're willing to fight for that. And so you send young people, because the military is full of young people. They're not going to send guys like me, for the most part, unless, you know, we're in the reserves. It used to be that the reserves would never go to war, and they would be here once they send the troops overseas to fight. The reserves' job was to protect the homeland. And once they changed to a voluntary military as opposed to one that was drafted, they were forced then to take those men and women who are the reserves and send them overseas to fight. The training for the reserves, from what I understand, is not as strenuous as it is for those who are full-time military, and yet those young men and young women were sent overseas because there's now no longer a volunteer army or military. I mean, drafted military, it's all volunteer, but now, you know, people who were just there enjoying the reserves because it was like a part-time job have been sent to these battlefields and have to deal with all sorts of psychological issues. 37,000 homeless people. Military. We can do better than that. We have to do better than that. They have to be a priority and not, you know, well, they volunteered, and so, you know, whatever happens, we'll give them a couple trinkets. No. It's an embarrassment. They're military vets who are out donating blood. Not that that's a bad thing. I donate blood. But I don't donate blood to get a couple bucks, you know, or plasma. They do it because they don't have anything else. 37,000 homeless military veterans is an embarrassment. And you and I, as citizens of this nation, must speak out against this atrocity. It's an atrocity. And we're still sending people overseas, you know, 37,252 veterans were victims of homelessness, and the VA processes about 80% of veteran prescriptions by mail. So when a veteran loses their home, they often lose access to the medications that their lives depend on. We got to do a better job. We got to do a better job. You know, either stop sending young men and women halfway around the world to fight for wars that benefit multinational corporations and not you and I, or once they get back, make sure that you take care of them in a proper way. We can do better. We must do better. We have to do better. 37,000 homeless vets is an embarrassment, and our nation should be ashamed of itself. I wanted to, you know, tie this in. Georgia Senator Warnock is stepping up to address this lack of housing and a major crisis that's taking place with these military veterans. Positioned as the E5 pay level within the military, 9 ranks of enlisted member pay for most of the 2013-2020 stationing in San Diego, Deans could not afford housing near the MCA's Miramar and Camp Pendleton Marine bases. To afford a place for her and her son, she had to live 30 minutes away in an area she describes as dangerous, in a home without air conditioning. Still, the cost stretched her finances, and with the added expense of daycare, Dania said her situation was tight. She's in the military. She has a child. What she's getting paid, she can't afford to live. Unless she lives in the worst part of the community. We got to do better. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.